Radio Prague News.
The Parliamentary Immunity Committee has voted to recommend MP David Rath be stripped of his immunity and prosecuted for corruption. The OECD predicts the Czech economy will shrink by 0.5% in 2012. And the police have arrested a woman who stabbed a teacher in a North Moravian school and held a schoolgirl hostage. The Parliamentary Immunity and Mandate Committee on Tuesday unanimously voted to recommend to the lower house that MP David Rath be stripped of his immunity and prosecuted. The vote took place after members of the committee heard the testimony from Mr. Rath, who is under arrest on suspicion of corruption. The hearing was held in an Interior Ministry facility in Prague and lasted for about 2 hours. Mr. Rath's request to be heard in Parliament was rejected, while members of the committee also refused to go to the prison. Mr. Rath was arrested last week with an alleged bribe of 7 million crowns linked to a public procurement project partly financed by EU funds. The lower house is set to vote on Mr. Rath's immunity at its next session in early June. The OECD on Tuesday cut its growth forecast for the Czech economy from previously predicted 1.6% growth to 0.5% contraction in 2012 due to a decline in domestic consumption spurred by the government's austerity measures. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development recommended the government continue to consolidate public finances at a reasonable pace. The OECD predicts that in 2013, the Czech economy will grow by 1.7% due to stronger exports and investments. The Czech Finance Ministry expects a GDP growth of 0.2% this year, while the central bank expects the economy to stagnate. The Rapid Response Unit of the North Moravian Police on Tuesday arrested a woman who entered a school in Havířov, stabbed a teacher and took one of the schoolgirls hostage, the news website idnes.cz reported, quoting a witness. The police rescued the girl after a two-hour standoff. The attacker reportedly wanted to abduct the girl, but when the teacher tried to prevent her from doing so, the woman took out a knife and stabbed her. The injured teacher has been taken to hospital. Police are now investigating the incident, including the woman's motive. Czech trade unions, along with members of several dozen NGOs, on Tuesday staged an anti-government protest in Prague. Some 4,000 people protested against the reforms and austerity measures of the center-right Czech government. They marched from the union's headquarters in Žižkov towards the seat of the government across the river. The police closed several throughways in the center of the capital due to the protest. Union leaders also announced no major protests were planned until the end of June. Czech Education Minister Petr Fiala on Tuesday halted a planned reform of the school financing system. Under the planned reform, schools would be getting funding according to the number of pupils in classes rather than payments per each pupil along with a set sum of money. The plan came under fire from teachers who said it would lead to the closing down of up to 70% of smaller schools. The ministry says it will now wait for the draft of the state budget for the coming years before taking a stand in the issue. 7 women suffered light and medium injuries in an accident of a Polish bus that occurred near the North Moravian town of Schumperk on Tuesday morning. The bus ran off the road and into a ditch where it flipped on its side, a police spokesman said. 47 people were travelling on the bus. The cause of the accident is being investigated. The police said, however, the driver failed to produce the required records of the ride. A court in Hradec Králové in eastern Bohemia on Tuesday sentenced a 41-year-old man to 6 years in prison for killing 2 boys in a car accident last November. The man put his car in reverse and hit a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old boy at a pedestrian crossing before running them over again and hitting a nearby wall. The boys later died in hospital. The court ruled out the man's claim he suffered from epilepsy and said the driver's exhaustion and the alcohol he had drunk the previous night might have been the causes of the accident. The prosecution and defense might yet appeal the verdict. Czech astronomers have located the remains of a meteorite that landed in the vicinity of the central Bohemian town of Benešov in May 1991, according to a report by the Czech Academy of Sciences released on Tuesday. The report says it is the first such case when meteorites were discovered after such a long time. The objects were located on the basis of a new analysis of the original records on the meteorite's trajectory. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days will be mostly overcast with occasional rain and storms. Daytime highs should range between 23 and 27 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, angered by the government's decision to slash tax refunds on biofuel, farmers are preparing to stage a nationwide protest. And we'll tell you about an exciting archaeological find in Prague. Then it'll be time to go places in Spotlight, which will take you to the historical town of Stará Boleslav, the town where St. Wenceslas was slain. And we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. On Wednesday, Czech farmers will be taking part in a planned protest against the government's decision to slash tax refunds on biofuel. The move by the government, which is part of broad austerity measures, is expected to leave agricultural producers in a tight spot, some 1.5 billion crowns lighter. The protest will see hundreds of farmers roll out their tractors on roads across the country, with the exception of highways and the Czech capital. Jan Wellinger spoke to Miroslav Loma of the Agricultural Association of the Czech Republic about what the protest hopes to achieve.
There are two main reasons. You know, this is a tax from the biofuel as well as the VAT. From the wine. When it comes to the first matter, you know, it means to the biofuel. The reason is that, you know, that at the moment or at the present, you know, the position of the EU 12 countries is still a little bit unequal in comparison with the EU 15 position. However, we should take into consideration that this biofuel is already subsidized in all remaining EU 26 countries except Slovakia. At the moment, our government will apply this elimination of the tax, which is to be returned to our producers, to agriculture producers, it will increase, let's say, of course, additionally production cost of our producers, thus increasing an unequal and unstable position in comparison with their colleagues from EU 15.
The decision to slash subsidies in biofuel represents losses of about 1.5 billion crowns. Is that correct?
Well, it's something. The figure is almost correct. I think it's floating around 1.5 up to 1.6.
Regarding the protests tomorrow, what form are they going to take?
Well, I think this protest will take place not on the highway, neither on the spot of the capital of the Czech Republic. It means in Prague. Majority of the farmers who are supposing to take a part in tomorrow's protest will be using their machinery, mainly tractors, and will be, let's say, moving from one spot to the other spot in the agriculture areas of the rural areas of the Czech Republic, using the, let's say, if we can call it the first class or second class roads.
And basically, these are tractors and additional machinery that travels.
That's it. Well, you should take into consideration that they are not, let's say, high speed vehicles. That means that the average speed of the tractor is something 30 kilometers per hour. So we should calculate with the speed where it will be moving these vehicles on the roads.
And do you think that the government sort of hears this kind of protest? Because up until now, similar events, major demonstrations in the capital haven't gotten much of a response.
You are right. Well, from my point of view, well, I do think that I rather prefer the negotiations to continue than this form of protest at the moment.
Miroslav Loma of the Agricultural Association of the Czech Republic, ending that report by Jan Wellinger. And of course, we'll have to wait and see what Wednesday brings. You could almost say that Prague keeps getting older. Not long ago, archaeologists found evidence of the oldest ploughed field here, tended 5,500 years ago. Now, the imprints of structures have been found in the same location, dating back even further, some 7,500 years. Christian Falvey has the story.
The dates of the earliest settlements in the area of Prague are continuously being pushed back, just about any time someone puts a shovel into the northern district of Bubenec. The spot in the bend of the Vltava River apparently offered an unparalleled living space, a river terrace with fresh water in plenty, defense on three sides, and fertile land. The site makes headlines again and again as the ground yields up fascinating finds from the mysterious peoples who inhabited Central Europe before the Europeans. That they farmed in at least 3500 BC and that they lived there long before that is well known. Now, though, comes the first hard evidence of a settlement as old as agriculture on the Nile, from around 5500 BC. Radek Bali is the director of the Czech Archaeological Society and heads the team that made the find.
We found two long houses from Neolithic. One of the big houses was rectangular shape and was about 7,000 years old. The other one was trapezoid shape and was about 6,500 years old. After both buildings, we found just the holes and grooves after wooden structures. So we know the circumference and few relics of the interior dividing. We found funeral, which was composed with a big ceramic pottery full of ashes and bones pieces, which stands on the big flat stone. This pottery was covered by a small bowl and two other flat stones. This situation is about 3,000 years old. In the research area, we found another grave, but it was really disrupted. Of course, we can say that this grave was much older, but this is the only thing what we can say for now.
The trapezoidal longhouses are common for the linear pottery culture that inhabited Europe in the early Stone Age. The so-called newer graves came from the stroke-ornamented ware culture. Both these peoples comprised a Danubian culture that cleared forests, practiced, perhaps accidentally, crop rotation, and imported goods from the south. The oldest evidence of settlement before this find appears to have been some 500 or more years younger. What's more, the area of Bubenec continues to develop with the promise of ever more finds, as any construction in such a location requires, by law, preliminary archaeological research. Radek Bali again.
We hope that archaeological research will continue in Bubenec because there are many places that will be reconstructed in future. So buildings still will be created and the archaeological research will here be needed.
Radek Bali, director of the Czech Archaeological Society, ending that report by Christian Falvey. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time to go places. This week's trip is to the town of Stará Boleslav with Pavla Horáková.
The Saint Wenceslas hymn has been a kind of unofficial anthem of the Czech lands for many centuries. This 12th century piece of music begs the patron saint of the country to plead with God on behalf of the Czech nation. According to legend, Prince Wenceslas was slain by his own brother in the small town of Stará Boleslav, just northeast of Prague, where we will travel today. The fratricide is believed to have happened in the year 935 or 929. It is not even clear whether Boleslav, the younger brother of Wenceslas, was the murderer or whether he just did not prevent the killing from happening. Although there were disputes between the two brothers regarding the process of Christianization of the country and its relation to its western neighbors, we will probably never know whether Wenceslas's death was the result of a conspiracy or just an accident. Local historian Nina Nováková.
Svatý Václav nebo kníže Václav byl zavražděn pravděpodobně v roce 935.
Saint Wenceslas or Prince Wenceslas was murdered probably in 935, but possibly in 929, right at the doorway of the old church of St. Cosmas and Damian. Here in St. Wenceslas Basilica, you can actually see the authentic spot, which today is decorated with a sculpture by Matthias Bernard Braun. It depicts one of the versions of the killing of St. Wenceslas. Prince Wenceslas is seeking refuge in the church. He is holding on to a door handle and his brother Boleslav is looming over him, about to murder him.
Soon after his death, Prince Wenceslas was worshipped as a martyr, and his cult grew strong mainly in the 11th century. The place of his death became a popular pilgrimage site.
Ve Staré Boleslavi jsou ve vzdálenosti asi 100 metrů od sebe dva poutní chrámy.
There are two pilgrimage churches in Stará Boleslav within 100 meters of each other. One is St. Wenceslas Basilica. The basilica actually incorporates an older church from Wenceslas times, that is the Church of St. Cosmas and Damien. Today there is a crypt in its place. A few dozen meters away there is the pilgrimage church of the Ascension of the Virgin Mary.
Today Stará Boleslav is one half of a town with the longest name in this country, Brandýs nad Labem, Stará Boleslav. The two towns were merged in the 1960s. While Brandýs was first founded sometime around 1300, Stará Boleslav arose about 400 years earlier.
Historie Staré Boleslavy ale je starší, my bychom asi měli vidět.
The history of Stará Boleslav is much older. We should look at the town in the context of Central European history. We know that the first historical member of the Přemysl dynasty, Prince Botivoj, who was the grandfather of Wenceslas, regarded this settlement and a few nearby fortresses as the centers of the emerging Přemysl princedom in Bohemia, besides Prague, of course. The name Boleslav comes from Wenceslas' brother, who built modern stone ramparts around the town.
Kamennou hradbu kolem toho hradiště.
It is Prince Boleslav, St. Wenceslas' younger brother, whom legend and history accuses of murdering his elder sibling. But what happened on September the 28th, 935, remains unclear. Nina Nováková.
V Boleslavi se tedy uskutečnila ta bratrovražda,
It was in Boleslav where the fratricide took place, which has been so defining for the history of the Czech nation. One version says that Wenceslas had been invited here by his brother to attend a baptism ceremony. Another says he came to celebrate St. Cosmas and Damien Day, which fell on September the 27th. September the 29th used to be Archangel Michael Day, and interestingly, Wenceslas mentioned him before his death. The day in between had no religious significance, so it is quite interesting that the day in between actually became St. Wenceslas Day.
Svátek 28. září od té doby zůstává.
St. Wenceslas is perhaps the best-loved Czech saint. He was a martyr, one of the patron saints of this country, and a character who played a key role in the formation of the Czech state throughout the last millennium. It appears his spiritual legacy is more powerful than the prince himself was during his short life of 28 years.
Rozhodně Václav jako kníže Václav v první polovině 10. století.
The real Prince Wenceslas from the first half of the 10th century did not historically have the same significance as his legend and his spiritual character, which never ceased ruling the country. Emperor Charles IV himself confirmed that. He said that the St. Wenceslas crown, one of the Czech king's coronation paraphernalia, is merely lent to rulers, but it still belongs to Wenceslas. As a patron saint, he has influenced our history more than he did as a prince who endorsed some kind of foreign policy.
Jako vládce, který prosazoval nějakou zahraniční politiku.
The years since the fall of communism have seen a rebirth of the St. Wenceslas cult, and as local historian Nina Nováková says, Stará Boleslav has once again become a pilgrimage site for believers.
Jsme opravdu hrozně rádi, že mohlo dojít, tedy že došlo.
We're very happy that the National St. Wenceslas Pilgrimage has been re-established. For the third time in a row, the Archbishop of Prague, Cardinal Miloslav Vlk, has allowed the most precious Czech religious relic, the skull of Prince Wenceslas, to be transported to the scene of the murder. It is quite unusual because since Wenceslas' remains were moved to Prague Castle on the orders of his brother Boleslav, the skull only found its way back as late as the 14th century in the times of Charles IV, and then again in 1929 for the millennium celebrations. Now it has been brought back three times in the last 3 years. The skull is placed in the crypt on the eve of St. Wenceslas Day, and priests celebrate a vigil and pray along with the cardinal. In the morning, the cardinal carries the skull in his own hands from the authentic place of the murder to the town square, where a holy mass is celebrated. So the returns of St. Wenceslas seem to be eternal.
Ty návraty knížete Václava jsou zřejmě věčné.
Pavla Horáková there with her spotlight on Stará Boleslav, first aired in May of 2007. And we now wind up today's Half Hour from Prague with another part in Radio Prague's popular language series ABC of Czech, which we're currently rerunning.
Ahoy, and welcome to this edition of ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Bowne, and I'm joined by
Martin Mikule.
In this program, we're talking about colors, but not just any colors. Have you ever overheard or had a conversation about whether something is beige?
Béžový.
Or brown?
Hnědý.
And in the end been told it's just khaki?
Khaki.
You don't suffer from color blindness.
Barvoslepost.
You aren't colorblind.
Barvoslepý. Barva.
Meaning color.
Slepý.
Meaning blind. There are just a lot more colors out there than what we find in the rainbow.
Duha.
Let's find out whether Czechs agree on the color of khaki. As it turns out, there seems to be more confusion and disagreement in Czech over the color khaki than in English. For the color khaki, you can say just
khaki.
But khaki can also mean military uniform. Khaki poses a problem because not only does no one agree on it, but grammatically it's hard to turn khaki, a foreign word originally from Hindi, into a Czech adjective. Czech has a few ways of avoiding the use of khaki as an adjective. Dressed in khaki.
Oblečený v khaki.
Or perhaps better is the expression, a uniform of khaki color.
Stejnokroj barvy khaki.
The color khaki can also be described as
hnědožlutý.
Brownish yellow or
žlutohnědý.
Yellowish brown. These two words,
hnědožlutý
and
žlutohnědý,
are both compound adjectives. When compounds are formed in Czech, there is usually an O placed in between the two words, like in the name of the former Czechoslovakia.
Československo.
Or black and white film.
Černobílý film.
Compound adjectives are common with colors, especially with the ones that require describing. But beige is always
béžový,
which is the same as in English, except it has been transliterated into Czech. As it turns out, the word for tan is
žlutohnědý,
yellowish brown, and it does not stop there. The color of gold,
zlato,
can also be described as
žlutohnědý,
but usually gold,
zlato,
is described as
zlatý.
And though it does not seem so at first glance, the word golden,
pozlacený,
is derived from the word for gold,
zlato.
And finally on this subject,
zlato,
in Czech, is a favorite term for addressing the one you love. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.
Naschledanou.
ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's Czech mini language course, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, as well as a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic, an address that's easy to remember, radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. As always, this is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.